Today's scripture reading comes to us from the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And on the sixth day, God completed all the work that he had done. And on the seventh day, God rested from all the work that he had done. God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all the work of creation. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
So just an update, and I should have mentioned this at prayer time. Pastor Sherry is she's out of the hospital. She's been at home now for a week, but still just struggling a little bit. It's diverticulitis, and if you've ever had that, you know how rough that is. You remember back at the end of last year, I was out for 6 weeks or so with surgery and that kind of stuff. Fortunately, hers wasn't as bad. So we're hoping she'll be back next week. She was in the office a little bit this week, and is going to try to make it to the state of the church. But just keep her in your prayers. That's a tough one to kind of to get back from. So keep her in your prayers. I want to start out this morning playing a little game. It's called Guess the Ten Commandments. I want to see kind of how well we collectively can come up and remember the Ten Commandments. But no cheating. So don't Google it. Don't open your Bibles. All that good stuff. But let's see if we can get all the Ten Commandments together collectively. So call them out. I've got a checklist. I've got the cheat sheet. So let's see if we can get them. Kill. All right. Name in vain. All right. I don't have idols. Okay. What else? Honor your father and your mother. Don't covet. All right. Don't steal. All right. Let's see, we've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven, so we got three more to go. Adultery, yeah, good. What else? We got that one. All right. All right, we have idol. We have no idols. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and mother. Don't murder, no adultery, do not steal, and don't covet. So we've got two left. No other gods before me. Good, all right. It's kind of important. And then last one. No false witness. Hey, we got them all. Let's give ourselves a hand. Good job. Good job. All right. You know, most of us, we grew up with the Ten Commandments. And if we went to Sunday school, if we didn't necessarily go to Sunday school, we have heard about the Ten Commandments, either in school or through, you know, just society, or we've heard the issues going on with the judge in Alabama who feels like the commandments should be in the courtroom, and we know about the Ten Commandments, and when we think about them, we're like, yeah, most of those make sense, right? Like yeah, it's good, because like, yeah, we shouldn't murder. That's probably a good thing that we don't do that. And we shouldn't steal, and we shouldn't commit adultery. I mean these are big things. Like and when I look at this list this morning, I'm going, hey, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I've not gotten all of Lila's gold jewelry and melted it down into an idol, right? You know, I haven't killed anybody in a while. I mean, I'm doing pretty I'm doing pretty good, right? And then it's like, you know the song from Sesame Street? One of these things is not like the other. One of these things just doesn't be. Okay. It's like, what? Keep the Sabbath? Okay. Like I don't have any idols. I've not stolen. Like, and then sit in your recliner and do nothing. Like, it's kind of a weird thing that's even on the top 10 list of God's commandments, but we forget about it. And I've got a confession to make. I've been breaking one of the 10 commandments recently. The Sabbath has not really been high on my list. I mean, I'm checking off. You know, I'm doing all right. I'm trying to seek holiness. I'm trying to seek a godly life. I'm trying to be sanctified. You know, as John Wesley would call us to be. But man, that Sabbath thing's a tough one. Between jobs, family, church, travel, sports, lawn care, extended family. I mean, who has time to stop for an entire day? You know, I tell Lila all the time, if I could have one more hour, if everybody got 24 and I got 25, then maybe in a year I would start to catch up. Maybe. I mean, it's always something. Between classes and work and travel and getting ready for school to start back with our youth group, getting it ramped up, doctor's appointments. I mean, it's go, 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 go. And it is an honor. I mean, we have a large youth group here, and it's an honor to be a youth pastor of a large youth group. But my phone never stops. You know, people never stop needing me for something, asking something of me. And so, like, this week, I had 30 minutes, like a 30-minute window between meetings. And I was like, okay, like, I've got to stop just and catch my breath. So I went over in the traditional sanctuary. The lights were off. Nobody was in there. And I just sat. And it was like, but I couldn't let go of it. Like, it just, like, everything I had to do just kept going. Like, I've forgotten how to just be quiet and to just be still. You know, whatever happened to that whole, like, be still and know that I'm God thing? Or that be quiet and listen for that still, small voice of God. What happened to that? For me, unless God sends me a Facebook message or a text message, like, I'm not hearing from him today, you know. I've forgotten how to be quiet. And let me ask you this. Whatever happened to Sunday? Do you remember what Sunday used to be like? I mean, for me growing up, we didn't, like, observe the Sabbath. But my family, it was different than the other 6 days of the week. Like, they were slower. They were quieter. They were calmer. Sunday was like a sacred day. And then somewhere along the way, things changed, right? Like errands and laundry and kids. And the weekends became about chores and catching up on work emails and band competitions and softball tournaments. And just the weekend, the Sunday just kind of lost its sacredness. We've lost Sunday. And it's no longer a day of serenity and healing and connections. And I think because of that, we've lost a sense of who we are, and we've lost a sense of what family really means, and we've kind of lost connection with God because we've lost connection with what Sunday is supposed to be about. I was telling somebody the other day, like, I don't have time. I don't have time to unwind or have fun or take up a hobby. I just don't. I don't have time for that, but I want to. And so she asked me, if you made time, what would you do for fun? Like, what would your hobby be? And as I sat there and thought, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what I would want to do for fun. And I think that's sad. It's sad that I don't know what my hobby would be if I even had time to do it. It's because I've missed Sabbath. I've missed some nap times. I've missed some taking that time to connect with myself and to connect with God. And I think if we're honest, we'd say we've all kind of experienced that before. We've all been in a place, and maybe you're there now, maybe you've been there in the past and you're good now, but we get so caught up in making sure that our kids and our jobs and our house and everything and everyone else is taken care of that we forget that we need to take care of ourselves. And you know, sure, like, we're supposed to be servants. We're supposed to be selfless. We're supposed to put people first. But there comes a time in our lives where we have to realize that in order to do that, in order to serve other people well, in order to put them first, we have to breathe. We have to remember who we are. We have to take a breath. Because all work and no play makes Jack a dull boy. But not just a dull boy, no work and no play makes Andrew a temperamental, exhausted, burned out, weak boy. It's important. And in our scripture this morning, we see that God recognizes rest as being important as well. I mean, he created the entire universe and everything in it. And then, I mean, he worked. I mean, I think that's probably some hard work doing all that, you know. Then on that seventh day, he stopped working. He stopped creating. And then he took time to enjoy what he had worked on. He took time to enjoy what he created. When's the last time you took a second to enjoy your work, to enjoy what you've created? God understands the need for rest. But God not only understands the need for rest, he actually set it apart and he called it holy. God says that taking a nap could be one of the holiest things you do this week. Like, how awesome is that? You see, we spent all this time thinking that we can't stop, right? Like, we've got to keep going. Like people need us. People are counting on us. Like we think the world can't turn without us. But in reality, if we simply took a moment to breathe, a moment to rest, it would make us more productive. It would help us to be more creative, more loving, more understanding, more patient. We can actually take better care of those people who need us because we've taken care of ourselves and we get the restoration and the healing that we need. And it's not being selfish to simply say that we need a break or that we need a nap or a day of rest. Rather, it's selfish when we don't take the time to do it. You know, Lila knows when I've not had an off day this week. She can feel it. She knows. She suffers the wrath of my temperament and my stubbornness the days that I don't take a break. Arlie feels it. She feels my frustration when she wants to just simply sit in the chair with me and watch TV, but I'm pushing her off because I've got an email to reply to. You know, she feels that. I'm a better father. I'm a better husband, better son when I've taken time to get the rest that I need. And if I haven't convinced you yet that it's important to have a day of rest, let's think about it this way. I'm about to Jesus juke you if you follow Twitter much. You know what a Jesus juke is. But if God took a day of rest, God worked and he took a day of rest, you work and you think the world can't turn without you, so much so that you can't take a day of rest, then in turn, you think you're better than God. Ouch, right? Like, God's okay with a day of rest, but the world can't turn without me with a day of rest, you know? Okay, have I convinced you? Everybody kind of understands we're all on the same page now. We need a day of rest. So, what would that look like? What would a day of rest look like for you? What does Sabbath look like for you? Well, it's up to you. It's up to you. John Piper, in an interview, he said that his family did not do any type of sports on Sunday. They didn't watch TV, sports on television. They didn't go to the stadium to see sports games. They didn't play sports on Sundays. They also didn't go to the movie theater to watch movies, even though they would watch movies at home. And he wouldn't keep his sons from going over to their friend's house to watch sports, but it was just kind of a line in the sand that he had drawn for them. And it's not that sports are evil or that movies are evil. It's just that they didn't necessarily glorify God. It was just kind of, you know, it didn't like make much of God. And so for him, that's kind of where they drew the line in the sand. And then in an article in Relevant Magazine, Christine Organ, she talks about how her Sabbath is she completely gets away from all technology. No phone, no iPad, no computer, no TV. She gets away from all technology for the day. She says this about Sabbath. Sabbath is about delegating a time to focus on what I have instead of searching for something new. A time to disconnect from work and technology in order to reconnect with the family, friends, self, and God. A time to quiet the external noise so I can hear my own powerful internal voice. And so these two people, their Sabbath is very different. They do it very differently. But they have two things in common. First thing, they set aside the day to be different than the other 6 days. And the second thing is, the day is used to reconnect with family, friends, self, and God. So, what does Sabbath look like for you? Well, if you sit at a desk all day, all week long, then your Sabbath may be going for a walk, taking the kids to the park, going hiking, going canoeing, something like that. If your week looks like you're breaking your back on the farm or construction or whatever, hard physical labor, then your Sabbath may be sitting in the chair and reading a book or doing something quiet. It kind of depends on you. What is it for you that helps you to connect with your family and yourself and with God? So now I know what some of you are thinking, because I think the same thing when Sherry told me I had to preach about taking a nap. It sounds good in theory, right? It sounds good in theory, but when? When is this supposed to happen? I can't answer that for you. When does it fit into your schedule? I don't know. I always say that I don't have time to do this, I don't have time to do that. The problem is, we do have time. We make time for the things in our lives that are priority. And we have to make time and make this a priority. And so the day of rest, this Sabbath, it actually was not created to be a hassle for you. Like it wasn't created for you to feel bad about yourself. Okay, there's one more thing I'm screwing up. That's not what the day of rest was created for. It's supposed to be a blessing, this day of rest. It's designed for you to be able to say to people, I'm sorry, I'm already booked that day. I'm sorry, I can't add that errand to my list. I can't add that project to my list. I can't add that thing to my list because I'm already booked that day. My calendar's full. And it's okay to say that. You don't have to tell them my calendar's full because I'm sitting and reading a book. They don't need to know that. They just need to know I'm already booked that day. I can't do that. So and then maybe you should go ahead and tell them. Maybe you should tell them, hey, I'm sorry, but like I want to be the best mom I can for you today. So I need to go get my nails done. Like, yes, ladies, I gave you permission. I want to be the best husband I can for you today. So I need to go and have a beer with my friends tonight. I want to be the best I can for you today. So go ahead and tell them. It's okay. It's okay. Tell them you don't want to break any more commandments. Whatever excuse you need. You are making your life better and the life better of those around you when you take the Sabbath. John Wesley, he's the founder of the Methodist movement. He said this about Sabbath in a sermon. You now know this was always designed for a day of blessing. May you never again, by your idleness or profaneness, turn that blessing into a curse. What folly, what madness would that be? So let me ask you, what's it going to take for you to say no? To block time out on your schedule in order to take a Sabbath? How would your life be better? And how would the lives of those around you be better if you simply took a nap? So, stop. Stop and read a book. Stop and take a walk. Stop and take the grandkids to Dairy Queen for ice cream. Stop. Make sure that you're taking time to reconnect with your family, your friends, yourself, and with God. Whatever you do, make sure that you take time to rest. Because there's not much holier. There's not many things much holier than a nap sometimes, right? God says it's okay to take a nap. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.